Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to this presentation for the SRAC-based financing program. During the presentation, all phone lines will be in a listen-only mode. At the end of the presentation, we will announce the opportunity for listeners to ask questions. Instructions will be given at that time. This presentation will be recorded, and archived playback will be made available. The Q&A portion of the conference call will be posted as FAQs on the website, but will not be recorded. If you need any assistance during this call, please press star, then zero, and someone will help you. At this time, I will turn the call over to Benjamin Chee of NERA Economic Consulting.
Thank you, and thank you everyone for coming. This is the SRAC-based financing program bidder information call. As the operator has said, I am Benjamin Chee from NERA Economic Consulting. NERA is the solicitation manager that administers the RFP, or request for proposal, process under the program. With me today, I have also Dr. Chantal Lucas from NERA Economic Consulting, as well as a couple of the representatives from the EDC, so the electric distribution companies. The electric distribution companies represented here for the program are Atlantic City Electric Company, Jersey Central Power and Light Company, and Rockland Electric Company. And specifically, we have Mr. Rob Rooter from Atlantic City Electric. We have Mr. Tom Donadio from Jersey Central Power and Light, and Mr. Scott Markwood from RECO, or Rockland Electric Company. These gentlemen will be helping me answer some of the questions that are specific to the EDCs at the end of this presentation. We'll start the presentation on slide 2. I trust everyone has a copy of today's presentation for this call. If not, you can download a copy of this presentation on our website. There is a dedicated website for this program. The website address is www.njedcsolar.com. I'll say that again. It is one word, NJ for New Jersey, EDC for the electric distribution companies, and solar for this SRAC-based financing program. njedcsolar.com. The presentation is posted to the documents page of that website. On slide 2, you should note that this SRAC-based financing program came out of a proceeding before the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. There is a stipulation and a settlement for this program, and the governing documents for this program, they are all on our website, and we list 3 of them here for you on this slide number 2. The first document that is a governing document is the RFP rules, or the request for proposal process and rules document for this SRAC-based financing program. We have a standard contract that is used under this program known as the SRAC Purchase and Sale Agreement, or PSA. And any decisions and orders from the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities related to this program are also deemed as part of the governing documents for this program, for this RFP. We have also updated, so you know, the RFP rules as well as the qualification forms for this upcoming solicitation known as the September solicitation. These were updated on July 18 and were dated as of July 18 as well on our website. So here's the disclaimer. Any statements that I make in this presentation that describes or that I refer to the documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by my reference to such documents and agreements. So we're on slide 3. We have the agenda for today's presentation. What we'd like to accomplish today, we'll start with an overview of the program. We'll let you know what the design of the program is about. We will jump into the planned quantities that are specific to this solicitation. We will walk you through some of the general program requirements and go into the details of the proposal process and explain to you that in this solicitation, the submission of a proposal is in 3 steps. We will then shift gears to talk about the evaluation of bids and the post-bid procedures for getting an award under this program. And then we'll close off this presentation with the results from prior rounds. Time will be provided for Q&A at the end of this call. Starting on slide 4, we have an overview of the SREC-based financing program. First and very importantly, please note that this program is not a loan program. This program is only for the purchase of SRECs and SRECs only, the utilities ACE, Jersey Central, Power and Light, and RECO will not purchase the energy or capacity from your solar projects. They will only purchase the SRECs that come out of your project. And you will get to name the price that you want to be paid under the contract, and you get to name also the term of the contract. What this program offers is a chance for you to enter into these long-term contracts between 10 and 15 years to sell all the SRECs from your system to the EDCs. And what it is designed to do is hopefully with that price that if you're awarded for that project, you will lock in a reasonable assurance of that price as well as the potential revenues that can come out of that, and hopefully you'll find financing elsewhere for the project. As I said earlier, this program came out of a stipulation before that is put before the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities, and this program is consistent with the terms of that stipulation as well as the board's decisions and orders. So we list here for you at the bottom of slide 4 3 features of the settlement terms. One is that this program envisions the offer of long-term contracts of between 10 and 15 years. As I said earlier, you get to choose how long you want a contract to run for. This program also envisions that there will be at least 2, if not 3, solicitations for each year, and this program is scheduled to run for 3 years. And when we say a year here, we mean a program year or an RPS year that runs from June of a year through May of the following year. And the last feature you find on the last bullet on this slide 4 is that this program also envisions that the projects that are submitted for consideration in our program requires the completion of an initial application process with one of 2 state programs, and I will go into detail later on in this presentation as to what these are, but one of the 2 state programs we're after here are either the REIP, the Renewable Energy Incentive Program, or the SRP, the SREC Registration Program. You must have an approval under one of these 2 state programs in order to participate in this SREC-based financing program. The stipulation as well as the board orders related to this program can be found again on our website. We'll move on to slide 5. As mentioned earlier, this program is envisioned to run for 3 years and will, at the end of the 3 years, procure about 64 megawatts of solar capacity. And this is roughly distributed with 19 megawatts for projects in the A service territory, 42 megawatts for Jersey Central, and about 3.8 megawatts for RECO's service territory. This is the last year of the 3 years of the planned program, and all the shortfall that were not filled in the last 2 years were brought into the planned quantities to be procured in this last round or last year. And we are in round 8 or the second round in the last year, RPS year 2012. Couple of things to note here for you. One, we list here for you in the table on slide 5 the preliminary quantities for this current solicitation, roughly about 3.4 megawatts to be procured in the A service territory, about 4.8, 4.9 megawatts in the Jersey Central service territory, and nothing for RICO service territory. The first thing to note is that this may potentially be the last solicitation under the program if we are able to fill all the target quantities that were planned under this program. The second thing to note is that these quantities that we present here are really just preliminary quantities at this point in time. We will announce an update to these quantities no later than August 15 to reflect any additional capacity that may be available for projects that failed to proceed to contract in the past rounds. So just note that this may potentially be the last solicitation under this program, and we will have an update to these planned quantities and we'll announce that no later than August 15. Over on to slide 6, we have a standard contract that is used under this program. This contract is, as I said earlier, known as the SREC Purchase and Sale Agreement, or PSA. This is a standard contract to be signed by all winners under this program. You will be asked to name two things in your pricing proposal, and I'll get to that in detail in the next section. The pricing proposal, also sometimes known as your bid form, will ask you for the term of the contract or the duration of your contract, how long you want the contract to run for. That must be between 10 and 15 years, and it will ask you for the price in which you want to be paid for each SREC that comes out of your project. Both elements, the term of the contract as well as the price, will be specified in your SREC PSA should you be awarded a contract, and the price is a constant price over the life of the agreement. Several other features we'll highlight for you about the SREC PSA on this slide 6. We list down for you at least three of these elements here. The first is that the SREC PSA will require that you agree to an inspection by a verification agent from the Office of Clean Energy. This will be paid for by the project. We'll ask you to agree also for the installation of a utility meter that measures the gross output of the project. That will also be paid for by the project. There is also a cash deposit that must be provided within 14 days of the Board of Public Utilities approval of an award. In general, this is a refundable cash deposit. It will be given back to you, but it will also be forfeited under certain circumstances, in particular if you have been awarded a contract but failed to proceed to sign and execute the contract after the board order is finalized. That may cause you to lose your deposit. The PSA also has a provision that causes your deposit to be forfeited if the commencement date does not occur within 1 year of the SREC PSA execution, if your project does not produce an SREC, for instance, or become operational within a year of the execution. In general, you are expected to participate in PJM GATS, or the Generation Attribute Tracking System, and the projects will be paid for the SRECs on a quarterly basis under the contract after the SRECs have been created and transferred under the terms of the agreement. On slide 7, we have a very high level eligibility requirements overview here. So we'll work on some of the requirements on the positive side first. So for this slide 7, we'll start with the second bullet downwards. It doesn't matter whether your project is a residential project or a commercial project. Both residential as well as commercial projects are eligible under this program as long as they are in one of the three electric distribution companies' service territory, which are again Atlantic City Electric, Jersey Central Power and Light, and Rockland Electric Company. It doesn't matter whether it is the customer that submits the proposal or it's the developer that submits the proposal. Either the customer or the developer may submit a proposal for the project. There is a size requirement. That's the first bullet you see on the eligible side on slide 7. And all projects that are to be considered must be at a maximum of 2,000 kilowatts or 2 megawatts or less, and a portion of a project, even if what you're submitting for is less than 2 megawatts, but if a portion of that is part of a project in aggregate that is above 2 megawatts, that project is no longer eligible. And then at the bottom of slide 7 on the eligible site, that's the last item there, we have the question as to at what stage must your project be in to be considered under our program. There are two criteria that are used there. The first, as I've mentioned earlier, is that you must have at a minimum cleared one of two state programs, either the SRP, the SREC registration program, or the REIP, the Renewable Energy Incentive Program. And the second criteria is that your project must not be so developed to the point where you have requested final interconnection before the Board of Public Utilities has approved the awards of the bids or the contracts for a particular solicitation. And when you do interconnect, you must not be interconnected at transmission voltages. We'll cover some of the items now on the ineligible side on this slide 7. We'll start with the bottom of slide 7 on the ineligible side. The last three deals with the terms under the SREC PSA. If you do not agree with the terms of the SREC PSA, your project will not be considered. And also, as part of the provisions there, if you do not agree with the net metering arrangements with the EDC or agree to the installation of the SREC meter at the project's expense, your project will also not be eligible under this program. And finally, one last item, if you're holding on to a call rebate project, that means if your project has received or will receive a rebate from the core program, the Customer On-Site Renewable Energy Program that was in force between 2001 and 2008, your project will not be eligible under this program. It is our understanding that all core approved projects are not considered under the SRP or REIP. So, in general, core projects are not eligible under this program. Over on to slide 8, here we provide some details for you regarding the NJCEP programs, in particular the SRP. A couple of things to note for you up front. First, it is our understanding that the REIP, the Renewable Energy Incentive Program, is no longer processed or considered by the NJCEP starting the beginning of this year. If you have an REIP approved project from prior years, those approved projects are eligible to be considered under our program, but for NJCEP, they are no longer processing any REIP applications. The second, we understand also from NJCEP that they are no longer processing these ESFI, the EDC Solar Financing Incentive, under their programs. And so at this point, only applications under the SRP are being considered. For the SRP, in order to obtain a SRP number, if you have not received either an REIP or SRP application approval and you're providing a project for the first time, a new project at this time, it is our understanding that in order to get that approval from NJCEP, you must provide to them a complete SRP packet by August 15 at 4 p.m. That's the deadline that they have set. Your SRP packet must at that point in time be complete, and they have provided us some instructions for you as well when you to provide the SRP registration packet to them. And in particular, they ask that you provide with your SRP application a cover letter, and that must be on the first page of your SRP registration packet. The cover letter must state that the project is intended for participation in the upcoming SREC-based financing program solicitation. And if you have already submitted your SRP registration to NJCEP and it is at this point in time pending approval, they ask that you send them a cover letter as well stating that your previously submitted SRP registration is intended for participation in the upcoming solicitation, and to include any customer or system owner information in your cover letter. This is done again so that the NJCEP can identify your projects and process your SRP application on an expedited basis. Please take note of these very important packaging instructions so that again NJCEP can identify your projects and process your application on an expedited basis. We provide you a link as well at the bottom of slide 8 as to where to find additional information regarding the SRP program. You can also give them a call at 1-866-NJ-SMART. Over on slide 9, here we have a screenshot of our dedicated website. The website address again can be found on slide 2 or the next slide, slide 10. It is njedcsolar.com. This is a dedicated website for this program, so don't go anywhere else to look for information related to our program. If you're looking at information somewhere else, you're likely in the wrong place. On this screenshot here, we show you the documents page of the website. A couple of things to highlight for you on this documents page. Here, all the RFP documents, including the governing documents that I have mentioned earlier, are all listed on this documents page. The documents page were recently updated on July 18 with the revised RFP rules for this solicitation, as well as the qualification forms that are to be used in this solicitation. The second part about this website, it's not found here, but I highlight for you is that on the top navigation bar, there is a link called the Contact Us link. If you click there, there should be another page that provides you another link that says Register on the Distribution List. It may be a good idea, if you have not done so already, to register yourself to be on our distribution list so that you will continue to get email alerts, announcements, and updates, including historical prizes when we get them, as and when the Board of Public Utilities release that information in the awards of bids after solicitation is over. Starting on slide 10, we will now shift gears into the more practical aspects of the program, how to submit a proposal. RFP participation in each solicitation is in three steps. I'll list for you what the three steps are very quickly, and then I will move into the details and explain what these three steps are. So step one is for you to submit an expression of interest, or what we call an EOI. This is due to us Monday at noon, August 29. The second step is for you to submit your bids, or what we call a pricing proposal. This is due to us noon on Friday, September 2nd. And the third step is for you to submit your qualification packet to us, and that is also due together with step 2 at noon on Friday, September 2nd. We'll start, proceed to slide 11. We'll talk about the expression of interest real quick. Yeah, the expression of interest is a form that you can fill out on our website, as appendix 2 on our website. You can download the expression of interest, fill it out, and then you can email that to us. The email address njsolar@nero.com is also provided in the expression of interest form itself. The expression of interest basically asks you to provide the contact information for a point of contact, so we know how to contact you for your project during the solicitation. It also allows you to provide contact information for an alternate person on the expression of interest. The other piece of information that the expression of interest will ask for is for you to provide us the NJCEP application number, either the REIP number or the SRP number that you will get after completion of the initial application process with NJCEP. One thing to note for bidders that may be having multiple projects, you must submit one expression of interest for each of your projects. The deadline again is by noon, August 29, but we urge you and encourage you to submit your expressions of interest to us early. And we ask that you do that before the deadline of noon, August 29. And I'll remind you of this fact again on the next slide. So let's move on to slide 12. Earlier I've told you in step 1 the expression of interest, what you need to provide us in that form. On slide 12 here, I will tell you what the solicitation manager will get to you upon completion of your expression of interest, or rather upon receipt of a completed expression of interest form from you. So once we have a completed expression of interest form, we will return back to you via email instructions as well as information that is necessary for you to submit your pricing proposal or your bid form. So first, we'll give you instructions for the submission of bids. We will give you login credentials and a password so that you can access the file transfer system to submit your bids, and we will also provide you a customized bid form or a pricing proposal form that you can fill out. That pricing proposal form is customized to your project. It will have your NJCEP number locked in. You must use that form in order to submit your bids. For those bidders that are submitting multiple projects, please note two things. One is that there will be one bid form per project. If you have 5 projects, we will return back to you 5 bid forms. One bid form for each project. You must submit these separately to us. The other item to note is that there is only one set of instructions and one password provided per bidder. So we will only give you one set of these login credentials to access the file transfer system to submit all of your pricing proposal spreadsheets. The deadline again for the expression of interest is by noon on August 29. This again is a noon deadline, and if there are issues with your expression of interest, and usually all it means is that you have not received your NJCEP approval yet for your SRP project, for instance, then you will have up to the cure deficiency deadline to cure any deficiencies on expressions of interest by resubmitting your revised or updated expression of interest to us. And you can do that up to the cure deficiency deadline of 5 p.m. on September 1st, that's a Thursday, and no later than that time, in order to get your project considered for this solicitation. A few very strong takeaways, I hope you will take that away, is that there is a really high cost if you do not submit your expressions of interest to us by this deadline of August 29, on Monday noon, August 29. If you miss that deadline, I will not be able to help you to get your projects through. But if you do so, even if it is incomplete at that point in time, you will have additional time to cure your deficiency. So if you're waiting on your NJCEP application number at this point, I strongly encourage you to just submit your expression of interest to us, even if you do not have the NJCEP number with you at this point. This will help us identify you as a bidder and will help us assist you with the remainder of the proposal submission process. We'll move on to step 2, which is the pricing proposal or your bids. Over on slide 13, very quickly, two takeaways here. First is that your bids are submitted using the bid form that we provide to you. And the second is that it must be submitted, the bid forms must be submitted to us using the file transfer system. And I'll go through these steps here for you. So step 1 of this pricing proposal submission process is to complete your bid form. Again, the bid form is provided to you once you have completed your expression of interest and have sent that to us. Once we review that expression of interest, we will then customize the bid form and send it back to you via email. That bid form, the pricing proposal, will have your NJCEP number locked in. You will then be asked to provide some key pieces of information. One, you'll be asked to name a price, that's a single price for all the aspects that you want to be paid for under the contract. The second is that you'll be asked to name a duration or the length of the contract. This must be between 10 and 15 years. The third is that you'll be asked to indicate the size of your project. This size must match the size as approved by NJCEP and as found in your SRP or REIP acceptance letter. And you will also be asked to indicate which EDC territory your project resides in. It must be in JCP&L or Atlantic City Electric in this solicitation. Over on to the middle of slide 13, we have some items here that is related to the file transfer system. On the right side of the page on slide 13, you'll find a screenshot of what it looks like. The file transfer system works pretty much like a web-based email system. We'll give you the email credentials or the file transfer system login credentials. The username to be used is basically your email address as you have provided to us. In your expression of interest, we'll provide you a password that must be used to access that. Once you're in that file transfer system, you just need to upload your bid forms as though you're uploading an attachment in a web-based email platform and send that to us using the instructions we will provide to you. It's as simple as that. Over on to slide 14. In terms of timing, again, the bid forms are provided to you anytime after your completed EOI is received by us, and you can at that point in time submit your bid forms up through the pricing proposal deadline, which is noon on that Friday, September 2nd. Certainly, here we encourage you to submit your pricing proposal early to us and not wait until the deadline in case there are technical difficulties that may cause your pricing proposal to be at risk of being received by us. The way the process works is that on any business day, once we receive your bid forms, we will acknowledge receipt of your bid forms with you by phone. We'll review the bid forms and we'll call you and we'll let you know whether there are problems with your bid forms or not. If you have problems, you can always resubmit that before the deadline and no later than the deadline on noon, September 2nd. And that's another reason why we encourage you to submit your pricing proposal early to us. If we receive your bid date, bid forms on bid date itself, we will make that phone confirmation within 30 minutes of when we receive that bid proposal pricing proposal spreadsheet. So that is step 2, the submission of the pricing proposal. We'll move on to step 3, the submission of qualification packet. This is on slide 15. The qualification package consists of a minimum of at least 3 pieces of information, sometimes 4 in certain circumstances, and I'll walk you through them here on this slide 15. So the first 2 pieces of information is required by all participants, and This is required to be sent to us and must be received by us in our office by noon September 2nd in hard copy. We need 3 originals. That's the first thing you see on slide 15. We need 3 originals of what we call the certification and checklist for qualifications form. This is also known as Appendix 5. Here you will certify that you understand your obligations under the RFP rules and the program. 3 originals must be signed by the owner of the project. It must also be signed by the customer that is on the customer bill that is receiving the energy under this program, under your project. The second piece of information that will require in hard copy is 1 copy of all the materials from the initial application process that you submitted to NJCEP for your SRP or REIP approval. This will include information such as your technical worksheet, customer bill if you have provided that to them, as well as a copy of the acceptance letter after they have approved your REIP or SRP project. The other 2 pieces of information you'll find at the bottom half of this slide 15, that has to be submitted to us electronically via email to njsolar@mila.com. You'll find those instructions again in the form on our website. The first piece of information that you'll find to be submitted electronically is the project proposal summary sheet, also known as Appendix 4. You need to provide this to us. We'll ask you for a description of the parties to the project, who the owner is, who the customer is, the developer, and some information about your project itself. That's all in the project proposal summary sheet. Once you download that form, Appendix 4 on our website, you fill it out. You just need to send it to us via email. The other piece of information that we require, the 4th piece of information here on this slide 15, is not required of everyone. This is only required, this is known as the host acknowledgement form or the Appendix C to the SREC PSA. This is required only in the event that the owner of the project is not the same person or entity as the owner of the premise in which the project resides on. So the owner of the premise, the landlord or the building owner, is known as the host. If the host is not the owner of the project that has titleship of the SRECs, we require the host to acknowledge and consent to the installation and the operation of the project through this form known as Appendix C to the SREC PSA, the host acknowledgement and certification form. And that is required to be provided to us in PDF format. You need to have the host sign this form. 1 copy of this will need to be provided to us as part of your qualification materials via email as well. You can also choose, if you like to, it's not a requirement, this is optional, to provide 3 originals of this Appendix C to us. And if you so choose to do that, we will keep these original Appendix C and provide them to the EDCs so that they can have this as part of the contract execution process when the time comes. Otherwise, you'll be asked to provide 3 originals of these Appendix C's when you sign the contract should you be awarded bids under this program. One last thing to note for you here also is that if you're not sure how to fill out this Appendix C, the solicitation manager team stands ready to prepare this form for you. If the project proposal summary sheet is received by us and your request is received by us as well before the EOI deadline, which is on August 29 at noon, if we receive that request from you and you tell us that you would like us to prepare this Appendix C for you based on information that you provided in your project proposal summary sheet, we will be happy to do that for you. At this point, these are the qualification requirements and instructions for how you submit your qualification packet. We are also considering alternative methods for the submission of some pieces of the qualification materials. We may test this out with a small sample of bidders, but in general, you do not need to be concerned about this at this point. Over on to slide 16, we have some details that we fleshed out for you regarding the certification and checklist in your certifications and checklist for qualification form, also known as Appendix 5. You must agree to the terms of the program as well as the terms of the SREC PSA without modifications. And just to remind participants, you must agree as part of the SREC PSA the inspection of the project at the project's expense, as well as the installation of the SREC meter at the project's expense. And the SREC meter must be located in an enclosure adjacent to the existing EDC meter. The participation in PGM EIS GATS is required, and you must also agree to the net metering arrangements with the EDCs. These are terms under the SREC PSA. If you have problems with your qualification materials, you will always have time to cure any deficiencies there. We are on to slide 17. A couple of things to note for you in terms of the timing and the process for evaluating qualification materials. The first is that the solicitation manager team will assess qualification materials only after the bids are ranked. We will not review any of your materials until the bids are ranked first, and only after that we will issue you either a deficiency notice or a complete notice regarding your qualification materials. If your materials are deficient, you will have an opportunity to cure any deficiencies, but no later than the cure deficiency deadline that is found on the bottom of slide 17, which is by 4 p.m. on September 12. We will inform you of any deficiencies no later than Wednesday, September 7 by noon, if not earlier, if there are any follow-ups that needs to be done. The other thing that we note for you as a refinement in this process here for this round is that not all qualifications may be evaluated in our program this round, and we will, for instance, not evaluate all the qualification packets that we received if there is oversubscription in terms of the quantity bid for an EDC, and in particular if it exceeds the planned quantities by more than two times what we need, and at that point in time if your pricing proposal is not competitive, we may or may not evaluate your qualification materials at that point in time. But we will certainly inform you about that no later than September 13. In terms of the ranking of bids, we are on to slide 18. Please note that the ranking of bids and the evaluation of bids is done first, as I mentioned, before we evaluate the qualification materials. The evaluation of your pricing proposals or your bids are done on an anonymous basis, and we will stack your bids from lowest cost to the most expensive based on a single metric known as the net present value, so that we can compare a price of a 10-year project versus a 15-year project. And this is again a net present value of payments under the SREC PSA for one annually delivered SREC. And I'll go into the next two slides about how you calculate this net present value and what this means in a little bit. So on this slide 18, just to continue, projects will be ranked and selected based on the lowest NPV or net present value first, up to the point where we have reached the target quantity for this solicitation, and if the target quantity is not met, then up to the point where pricing is found no longer to be competitive, whichever comes first. There are also some other nuances to the evaluation of bids. As I said, you know, we will rank bids based on a single metric known as the NPV. We will also apply a developer cap, which came out of the stipulation for this program. The developer cap is set at 20%, and it applies only to projects in JCP&L and ACE service territory, and it applies only to projects after they have been ranked. And for the RICO service territory, it's not that relevant at this point in time, given there are no planned quantities in this solicitation. But for RICO, there is no developer cap that is applied, but they have an affiliate cap for affiliates of RICO set at 50%, again applied to projects that are ranked, after they are ranked, I should say. Over on to slide 19, here we have some details regarding the developer cap. The developer cap was established so that no one entity or no combination of affiliated entities under the same majority ownership can have more than 20% of an EDC's contract in any given year. And again, the EDCs here refer to JCP&L and Atlantic City Electric only. 20% of the planned quantities, this is a clarification that was provided by the Board of Public Utilities, this 20% applies to the planned quantities for the reporting year. And 20% of that comes out to be about 2.2 megawatts for Jersey Central and about 1.4 megawatts for Atlantic City Electric. The program rules also allows for a little bit of margin that you can go over the 20% of that planned quantity in each EDC's territory, but by no more than 150 kilowatts, or if the program is undersubscribed in a prior year, no more than 30% of the system size of the last accepted project, whichever is larger, 150 kilowatts or that 30% of the last accepted proposal. One important point I will note here for you is that we will apply the developer cap to each developer, and this is regardless of whether the developer itself owns the project or whether the developer is submitting the proposal or not. Even if the customer is submitting the proposal and the customer owns the project, the customer will be asked to name the developer, and the developer cap is applied to the developer of the project. Over on to slide 20, we'll have an example here about the calculation of the NPV, or the net present value. The way the net present value is calculated is by multiplying a price that you will name in your bid sheet to a factor known as the NPV factor. The NPV factor is specific to the term of the project. So as you can see here, there is a different factor that is specific to each of the terms in a EDC territory. There is a different factor for a 10-year project, and there is a different factor that is applied for a 15-year project. In this example, for JCP&L, the NPV factor for a 10-year term is 7.0660. The NPV factor for a 15-year project is 9.1832. As you can see, as the term increases, the NPV factor also increases. The NPV factor is multiplied to the price that you name in your bid sheet to get the NPV, and then the NPV is what we use to rank all bids, so that whether it is a 10-year project or a 15-year project, the NPV is what we will look at to rank all the projects in the bid stack. And as you can see here, two things you name in your bid sheets. You'll be required to indicate how long you want the contract to run for, either between 10 to 15 years, and you'll be asked to name that price. And your longer term proposals can still be competitive if it is significantly or sufficiently lower than proposals with shorter term durations. These NPV factors can be found in the RFP rules as well. You can also find an example in RFP rules itself. So we do encourage you to take a look at the RFP rules for more details. Over on to slide 21. Here we will sort of conclude with some of the broad timing and the post-bid process. After the evaluation of bids, the solicitation manager will present a preliminary set of recommendations to the parties to this program, which are the EDCs, Rate Council, as well as the staff of the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. These are known as the parties. We are presenting these preliminary recommendations for purposes of getting inputs from the parties. And once we get them, we will then turn around a final set of recommendations to the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities, and that final recommendation will include some notes about how competitive the process is, what we are recommending for awards in this solicitation, as well as any subsequent planned quantities for subsequent rounds, as well as any treatment for the small project segment. Final awards are ultimately determined by the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities. This is expected to be held on October 26th. This is still tentative. And once they have made their decision to approve the awards, the solicitation manager will then inform bidders and will announce the results. And the announcement of the results will not include any individual pricing, and you'll see a sample of that in the next couple of slides. Two refinements we will note for you here on slide 21 as well. The first is shortly after the announcement of the results, after the decision from the Board of Public Utilities, the EDCs will then provide to the owner of a successful project a draft of the SREC PSA. This is for the convenience of bidders only and has no legal effect. You will get the final PSA 45 days after the board order is issued and is no longer subject to appeal. This draft PSA is provided again for the convenience of bidders and is a refinement in the process that was implemented in round 6. The second item that is also a refinement is that after your project is awarded and is built, there can be a variation in terms of the system size of up to 10% from what is proposed in your proposal under the program. So if you have provided a size in your pricing proposal as well as in your qualification materials, and after your project has been awarded a contract and you start building the project, that as built size can differ from what you have provided in your proposal, but by no more than 10% in terms of the difference between what you must intend to build at this point in time when you submit your proposal. As long as the system still meets all the other requirements of the program and there is no change to the segment that your project is qualified or considered under. So the Board of Public Utilities considers or recognizes three different segments. There is a small or smallest segment, that is from 0 to 50 kilowatts. There is a second segment that is above 50 kilowatts to 500 kilowatts. And then there is the largest segment that is above 500 kilowatts to 2 megawatts. Over on to slide 22, as well as 23 and 24, we provide you some statistics about participation in prior rounds. We are providing these information at a fairly high level as what is required by the stipulation and the board order, which are the bids that were received in each round, what has been awarded in terms of the bids as well as the capacity, what has been rejected in terms of the bids, number of bids, and the capacity associated with the projects that were rejected, as well as the average price and the lowest price received in that solicitation. We note for you that additional information has also been provided or been released by the board order recently. You can find some of these additional information by EDC as well as by segment on our website. You can find that either through the announcement links when you look at the announcement of the release of information, or when the board has approved the bids, you'll find some information there. You can also find that in the board order itself or a summary document that is posted on our website. As you can see from these three slides that we have had increasing participation over the past 7 rounds and have been fully subscribed in the last round, in round 7, and this may potentially, as I said, be the last round for this program, and we will update the planned quantities for this round no later than August 15. We will conclude with slide 25 again, just to recap some of the key milestones and deadlines for this solicitation. Very importantly, the documents last posted on our website were all dated July 18. Please review these documents that were dated July 18 for this solicitation. The deadline for the expression of interest is August 29 at noon, but please do not wait until the deadline to submit your expression of interest, but give that to us as early as you can. The deadline for the pricing proposal as well as the qualification materials, they are due to us by noon, Friday, September 2nd. Must be received by us, not sent by you. Must be received by us by Friday, September 2nd. Again, we encourage you to submit that to us as early as you can. And we provide you as well at the bottom of slide 25 a couple of tentative dates for the process. Preliminary recommendations are expected to be provided to the parties by September 14. Parties are expected to provide us input a week later by September 21st. We will turn around final recommendations to the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities by end of September. The board is expected to make its decision in the last week of October. And if they do, we will release the results shortly thereafter to all website registrants. And the SREC PSA is due to be executed 45 days after the board decision or the board order is issued. And that is due sometime in mid-December. And these are the milestones for this program. And with that, I will conclude the presentation portion of this bit of